If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Joe Hoff and the Joe Hoff Show. Happy you're here. Happy you're listening in. This is trying to make this the greatest show on the radio, and we're doing our best. So appreciate you listening in. Appreciate you sharing the show with your friends and telling them, hey, this Joe Hoff, man, we got the best guests, and we are just crushing it with information that you'll never hear in the mainstream, that's for sure. Not in the mainstream media. I call it big media. Big media, big tech, big government, big finance, and the big lie all together. So, lots going on. I put a piece up this morning at Gateway Pundit. Many of you know I write at the Gateway Pundit. Also, you know I'm an author. I've been working on my third book in the steel. I'll mention this real quick. It's going to be on the cover-up and what was done to prevent really President Trump from rightfully winning the election after they stole it. And then there was a massive effort to cover it up. Lots of operations, disinformation operations to continue to steal the election. And this morning I just did a piece on January 6th, I've been writing about it in my book, and then this article came up overnight from Conservative Treehouse. So anyways, I'm jumping back and forth here. I want to tell you, go out and grab a copy of my book. I've got volume one, which is setting the stage before the election. Volume two, the impossible occurs, the actual things that occurred to steal the election. And now volume three, which is just as important. And it's really quite a story about what they did to cover it up. But one and two are available now on Amazon. They're $10 each. I encourage you to go out and get a copy so you're caught up to speed when this volume three comes out. And I hope to get it out in the next month or so. But here I am writing about January 6th because this certainly had a big – this was a big deal. This was a big deal in as part of the cover-up. And this article comes out a couple days ago from Conservative Treehouse, and I read it this morning, and I jumped out of my chair, and I said, no way. I'm like, no way. You know, just shocked with this report, and I put it up at the Gateway Pundit. It's up there now. You can go to the Gateway Pundit and see it. It's the theory is that January 6th, it was absolutely essential that there be some sort of crisis on that day. So the deep state worked with these corrupt politicians, Mike Pence included, former VP Mike Pence, and created this scenario where they would prevent any opposition to the election. And the only way they could do that was to put Pelosi in control, was to prevent any of these options, any of these people raising these issues up for a vote. And the only way they could do that was to create a crisis, to create an emergency that they could put Pelosi in charge. Now, these emergencies, according to House rules, apparently are very limited. They're time of war or time of emergency. So what they did is they created the emergency through the riots. And what happened was, right as the representatives were raising their hands to offer a vote on the election, immediately Mike Pence was escorted from the room. Chuck Schumer, the head of the Senate Dems, Nancy Pelosi, I believe, was last, and also Mitch McConnell, the head of the Senate, Republicans, and then Pence is removed. So, anyways, they are all removed, which then put the Congress into a situation where it was an emergency. In that case, Nancy Pelosi takes over. She comes back later that night after this fiasco is over with, and then she does not permit any votes, votes on the election, Joe Biden's voted in, and it's over. And there's no information and no votes on the stolen election, even though 150 almost Republicans voted against the election, it didn't matter. There was no motions to call the election tainted. So what the author surmises is that by putting in this emergency protocol, Pelosi could end all this. Mike Pence even wrote in his memo that he released while President Trump was shared, in front of the million people. Mike Pence comes out with his memo and says he can't constitutionally do it. Well, this author goes and says, well, yeah, he must have known, because that's absolutely right. Because of the emergency motion for Pelosi to take over the House, he did not any longer have the ability to raise these issues. So he was technically right. But then again, how would he know that ahead of time? So it seems pretty clear that Pence was involved, and it was all an effort to steal the election from Trump. And then this also gave the courts the ability to say nobody had standing, because nothing was ever raised on that day on January 6th. So that's the theory. That's an amazing story. And I'm still trying to really get my hands around it. It's just amazing. And here it comes up right as I'm finishing this chapter on January 6th. Timing couldn't be better. I'm just blown away by this. I mean, these people are so cunning in how they can steal elections. If they only use that effort to help the country, wouldn't that be amazing? Instead of this energy is spent on all sorts of, you know, garbage. And that's our, you know, today's Democrat Party and deep state. They're just they're animals. And so all sorts of stuff going on today. In addition to that, like yesterday we talked about this Silicon Valley Bank, and there's a lot in the news about that, and Signature Bank. And it looks like Biden came in and said the gang, the Biden gang, said they'd protect these banks. And there's a lot going on, and I'm glad that our good friend Adam Clark, aka Ruckus, has decided to bring this topic up today, because I'm interested to hear what he has to share. And I heard some other news this morning I could share with him. So, Adam, how you doing?
Holy moly, Joe. There is a lot of news going on with this bank stuff. I have a lot to update everybody with. I will do my best and as quickly as possible. First of all, big news. Moody's Investors Service announced that it has cut its outlook on the entire U.S. banking system from stable to negative, citing a quote-unquote rapidly deteriorating operating environment. Despite the regulators' efforts to shore up the industry, the rating industry added it is placing the First Republic Bank and five other American lenders on review for a downgrade. The move comes, of course, as concerns grow over the health of the U.S. financial system following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and two other lenders. Let's see, they also added to the list, Moody's did, Zions Bank Corporation, Western Alliance Bank Corporation, Comerica, UMB Financial Corporation, and Intrust Financial Corporation. The agency cited concerns over the lender's reliance on uninsured deposit funding and unrealized losses in their asset portfolios, which, if you've been paying attention, caused the problem with these other banks. Moody's also slashed the debt ratings of collapsed New York-based Signature Bank deep into junk territory, withdrawing future ratings for the insolvent lender. Bye-bye, Signature. The downgrades come while U.S. bank stocks have continued to plummet despite the government's measures to support lenders and prevent more bank runs. The turmoil was triggered by the collapse of major U.S. tech lender SVB on Friday after customers rushed to withdraw their deposits, which led to its shares crashing and quote-unquote forced the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, to shut the bank down. SVB became the largest U.S. financial institution to collapse since the 2008 financial crisis, which, if I'm not mistaken, was when we first learned of something that we now refer to as bailouts. And now the argument, of course, Joe, is it or is it not a bailout? Well, according to Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley, she says Joe Biden is pretending this isn't a bailout. It is. She says, quote, now depositors at healthy banks are forced to subsidize Silicon Valley Bank's mismanagement. When the deposit insurance fund runs dry, all bank customers are on the hook. That's a public bailout. depositors should be paid by selling off Silicon Valley Bank's assets, not by the public, end quote. The government, of course, as part of their act, decided to draw from the DIF, the Deposit Insurance Fund, which is sponsored by the banking sector, so that the taxpayers, supposedly according to Biden, will pay no losses. Biden also emphasized that the government is not bailing out the bank, supposedly. He keeps reiterating this. And he also stands by what Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is assuring everybody, that and emphasizing that the financial system is safe, despite the recent concern. Another presidential contender and biotech businessman, Vivek Ramaswamy, is also on board with this idea that what they did was basically a bailout. He says, quote, speaking to Fox Business, "I think more regulations are not the answer because that creates more room for crony capitalism. I think what we really need here is fostering a culture of greater due diligence by market actors to not have to just rely on the government to do their work for them," end quote. And don't take their word for it. Why don't we ask former FDIC chair herself, Sheila Bair? She was speaking on Fox Business as well. She played a prominent role in the government's response to the financial crisis of 2008. She was asked if the decision amounted to a bailout, and she says, quote, "Well, it is a bailout. Different people define bailouts in different ways. We have a set of rules. We give a lot of support to banks. Deposit insurance is one of the things we let banks have. They pay a premium for it. It's capped at $250,000. If we change those rules for a couple of banks and then give them more coverage than anybody else does, or they were entitled to under the law, I think that's a bailout," end quote. One more for you, Steve. How about Professor Steve Hanke, former economic advisor to President Reagan? He agrees with everything else. He deemed this course of action unwise, arguing that society should not be forced to subsidize the financial risks assumed by others. Quote, "Depositors with over $250,000 on deposit thought they were uninsured and they were willing to take the risk. Why should they now be rewarded with a bailout gift from the government?" End quote. Why indeed, Joe? Why indeed?
Why? Yeah, no kidding. I tell you what, I heard Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, he spoke actually, I believe it was this morning, and he said that he spoke with the FDIC, the head of the FDIC last week. He went over and talked to him. It's like, what's going on here? He says, are you gonna now bail out every bank? Because what Biden did was, the law is, and you know this, but just for our listeners, the law says, okay, up to $250,000, the FDIC will protect you. So that's a good thing, I guess. And it was put in place maybe almost 100 years ago. The problem is, most of these individuals at this bank in California, the Silicon Valley Bank, had something like 90% of these people, of depositors, had deposits greater than the $250,000. So it's a business bank, is what it is. And a significant portion of those were from China. So what we've done, the U.S. has bailed out China in full. So we're saying, suddenly Biden changes the law basically and says, we're not going to just cover you up to $250,000. We're going to cover you in whole. And so Vance asked these guys, so are we going to do this for all the banks now going forward? So basically, instead of having that little card at the bank that you walk up in the teller window and it says, hey, you're covered up to $250,000, we can just take that down or cross off $250,000 and say, hey, you're covered no matter what we put there. And then eventually, who's paying for this is the taxpayer, of course. So the problem that Vance noted, and he was talking to Steve Bannon this morning, was that these guys had no answer. They don't know. They don't know what the policy is now. And this is, and then today Moody's, as you mentioned, through, you know, earlier today, goes in and re-examines the banking segment and downgrades it from like stable to negative. I mean, this is a really, really big deal. It hasn't, people, and I look at the markets right now and they're pretty normal. So I just can't, you know, you can't make sense out of any of this stuff anymore. But it is really precarious times, Adam. This is kind of scary stuff. And
it might be worse than that, Joe. I don't want to frighten you. But Citadel hedge fund founder Ken Griffin says that the government bailout signals the death of capitalism. He pretty much said as much. He says, quote, The U.S. is supposed to be a capitalist economy, and that's breaking down before our eyes. There's been a loss of financial discipline with the government bailing out depositors in full, end quote. He and a lot of these other economists, I've been following this very closely because it's, you know, I'm like very interested and a little bit frightened, but they keep talking about this thing called moral hazard, which is what Vivek Ramaswamy was kind of leaning towards too. Steve Hanke, Professor Hanke, was also talking about this this idea that this would be, you're supposed to learn your lesson, you're supposed to take this risk, but now it's like, oh wow, I can get away with anything. It's the same as like soft on crime policies, you know. Now criminals are like, well, hey, I can just walk into a store and load up a trash bag full of expensive sneakers because, you know what, I'm not going to get in trouble. Same thing now. This is a big problem.
It's really big. And you mix that in with the craziness in Ukraine, the open border, just issue after issue after issue, the massive inflation, which really caused this crisis, a lot of people are saying. And the Fed trying to, now they may lower their rates, which will keep in, well, which will basically increase in inflation. It's a mess. And it's all caused by these, you know, really jokesters in DC. Somebody said to me earlier, why is it that Biden's still around? Why has he not been impeached? And you got to scratch your head and say, why? I really don't know what the House is waiting for. There's enough, just the Hunter Biden stuff, but this stuff's just outrageous. So no reason to wait. Let's get this guy out of here so that we can get things fixed. Anyways, it's a bizarre time in the U.S. in U.S. history. It's really, really bizarre and scary. So, Adam, thanks for all your help here and your great insights on these stories. They're just spot on as far as what's in the news today, and I really appreciate you coming on. So thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, Joe. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. And we'll be right back with the Joe Hoff Show.
You should hear what Ross Cameron is talking about.
As we look back now over sort of 3 years of the COVID story, for all of the lockdowns, for all of the injection of experimental drugs, for all of the social distancing and all of the mask wearing has made absolutely no difference to mortality rates in Australia as against anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a fair summary. Now, because we kept our borders closed, we kept the pathogens out. But therefore, when we opened up under the mistaken belief that we had reached herd immunity through high vaccination coverage by then, in fact, we discovered that herd immunity does require a mix of vaccines and natural infection against COVID. And that, in fact, now more studies have come out demonstrating, this was published in The Lancet not that long ago, that natural immunity is at least as good as and probably better than vaccines for giving more robust, more cross-reactive to other variants and longer lasting immunity. And we didn't have that. Therefore, we caught up with the rest of the world once we opened up.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, this is Joe Hoff. We're back with the Joe Hoff Show. And today I've got a very, very exciting guest to introduce to you. And I've heard about him. I've written about him. But I'd never really talked to him. And so it's a thrill for me to introduce to you Sal Greco. And Sal, how you doing?
Well, Joe, it's an honor to be here. Like you just stated, you actually have written about me and you actually helped me out there in a time where nobody was really in my corner short of, you know, my friend Roger Stone. So that meant the world to me. And you actually did find out that there was some kind of fugaziness going on with the subpoenas they used in my case. And it just meant a lot to me, Joe. So I thank you very much for that.
Wow, Sal, thank you. Really an amazing story. Another one of these frightening and scary stories as well. And Roger, you're right. Roger brought your name to my attention and started sharing information with me. We were able to share your story at Gateway Pundit, and that was an honor. And you know, you just it's just another one of these. You know, it's almost like a very January 6th case, and it's just frightening when you see what a bully this government can be, this tyrannical fascist government that's running the show now, that's destroying our economy and trying to get us to war. It's frightening. So Sal, why don't you start off and why don't you tell our listeners basically a little bit about you, and then let's jump into, you know, what happened here, you know, over the last few years.
All right. Well, Joe, I worked in New York City Police Department for 14 years. I have an unblemished record, and I serve my communities with distinction. I've had over 320 arrests. I've been involved in 1,000 arrests. You know, I have no negative remarks on my record. Enter the fact, though, that I became friends with Roger Stone. Eventually, there was a letter written on me, and it started a 19-month witch hunt. In this letter, it stated that I wanted a civil war in this country, whatever that means. So that ensued a 19-month witch hunt. I was put through multiple interrogation sessions. I was followed by some people in internal affairs. I was then put through a department trial, which lasted over a month. In fact, Roger did come to the trial. And ultimately, the judge in that case, with the assistant deputy commissioner of trials of the department advocate trial room, he said I should be terminated, and that my conduct or my relationship and my friendship with Roger Stone is corrosive to the police department. And therefore, the police commissioner rubber stamped it. So, Joe, the three charges I was found guilty of is, number one, they stated that I was a made-up charge. It doesn't exist in the NYPD patrol guide, which is the rules that all the officers, including the police commissioner, must follow. It stated that they stated that I was uncompensated security for Roger on January 5th and 6th. They then also said there was misleading statements that I misled them, because I kept inferring that I was not his security, which I am not. They didn't care. They made that a fact in their own mind. And the most important one here is there is a patrol guard procedure that states that you cannot wrongfully or knowingly associate with someone who is likely to have engaged in or has engaged in criminal activity. So they're stating that that person is Roger Stone. So for me to be friends with him, that would start a trigger an investigation, and then they could terminate me. But, Joe, the problem is this has happened to numerous other officers, including at one time the mayor of New York City, who was a former police captain, Eric Adams. He, in his book, admitted that he was security and friends with convicted felons Mike Tyson and Louis Farrakhan. He was put through the same procedures like me. They interrogated him, but yet nothing was ever, you know, they never punished him or disciplined him. They just basically ended it after 11 months. I, on the other hand, was terminated. But Joe, just the other day, if you have been reading the Daily News or anything involving New York City, unbelievably, because I did sue the NYPD and the city of New York, but unbelievably, New York City, the NYPD had an event called Girl Talk, which was at One Police Plaza. And the guest of honor was none other than Cardi B. Cardi B, who's an infamous rapper, actress, and well-known gang member, also on her record has an arrest. She was arrested for a felony, which she pled to a misdemeanor, so she has it on her record. She's a convicted criminal and a gang member. And she was ushered into the police academy, which is a secure facility where there is firearms, there's a lot of documents that belong that were highly classified to the New York City Police Department. They're all in there, and they're ushering her around, and they're associating with her and taking pictures. So now I see I put this in my lawsuit, and I said, well, using the NYPD terminology where they said my relationship is corrosive, you know, because my relationship with Roger Stone means being an employee of the New York City Police Department is corrosive, then the police commissioner, along with every single person that was associating with Cardi B, should be terminated as well, just like I was. But there, from now, what I'm seeing is Eric Adams, who was asked about this Friday and then also went on a show on WABC radio on Monday morning, he's saying the same reason you brought Cardi B is why people voted for me, because I was arrested. You don't discard people. Well, Mayor Adams, you discarded me. You discarded my 14-year career. You discard Roger Stone, because now my lawsuit seems to you know, I seek to find an answer. I want answers to things. So how is it that you're saying Cardi B, which is good, right? Good for the police department. Then why is Roger Stone not good for the police department? Why isn't Roger Stone being invited to the police academy where he could give a whole summation on constitutionality, political subjects, how law enforcement is needed in the communities? They haven't invited Roger Stone, but they'll invite Cardi B and they'll all take pictures with her and associate with her. So who is the arbiter of truth? Is it Eric Adams? Is it the police commissioner? Who police commissioner also backed away and said, oh, I didn't make this decision. But Joe, in the police department, it's well known that the police commissioner has briefings every morning about every little thing that happens in the police department. This would have been a major event, having a major celebrity come to your secure police facility. And she was stating that she didn't make this decision. The chief of the police academy did. And ultimately, Eric Adams put the chief of the police academy is now a deputy or a commissioner of the Department of Probation. So they moved her out of the NYPD, making her the fall person for this, which is ridiculous because nothing happens in the police department without the police commissioner's rubber stamp. Joe, I can't even get transferred. I got transferred once or twice in my career. The police commissioner has to rubber stamp it. You can't just have a chief say, put him there, put him there. So this whole thing, I can't wait to have this litigated. My case was actually, they mooted their motion to dismiss due to this comparable argument that I have. So now we're on for May 31st for the discovery phase of this entire trial. Mm. And it's just has been a roller coaster for the last few years. Actually, we'll go back to, you know, with Roger's case and his trial. It's been a roller coaster for the last, I take it 5 years now in my life. And it's just, you know, you just want this thing to come to a head and we face it mano a mano, because either it's going to go their way or my way. But I know one thing, as they stated in their own lawsuit, all these things, they used all these subpoenas, Joe, to look through my records and they falsified documents, and everything led to one thing. The New York City Police Department said there was no criminal wrongdoing on my part. I eventually was also put in front of the January 6th committee due to the New York City Police Department. They also stated there was no criminal wrongdoing on my part. And ultimately, the DOJ says there's no criminal wrongdoing on my part. So Sal Greco did nothing wrong. For them to then put this in an administrative stance and say, well, you're wrong because you're friends with Roger Stone, this is what tramples on your First Amendment right. And their own actions, and where they're stating Cardi B is good, but Roger Stone is bad, is now a constitutional crisis for them. So we can't wait to have this litigated and see how this goes, Joe.
Wow, that's amazing. So, right, just for my information, is that in the state court, I guess? Or is it a federal court?
It's in the federal, it's a Eastern District Court in front of Judge Block, who is the senior judge of the circuit.
Okay. See, do you know who he's an appointee by? Probably one of the Bushes or Clinton.
And by Bill Clinton, I think early to mid-90s.
Okay. Yeah, well, best of luck on all that. I guess, you know, a number of questions here. So I guess, first of all, how you met Roger Stone long before January 6th. Is that correct?
Oh, of course, Joe. I actually met Roger off of Instagram back in early or mid 2018. That's how we started talking. And it was just, we just hit it off. I mean, I didn't know Roger was half, he's Sicilian. I mean, I'm Sicilian, and we just hit it off. And, you know, I was always Joe, I mean, his Instagram was full of negative comments and hatred. And I said, what did this man really do? And when I really took a look into the entire case, because listen, There's no secret I'm a Trump supporter. I've loved Donald Trump since the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I looked into this entire case that they have with him. Me being in law enforcement, I've been in and out of the courtroom my whole life. I know how this entire game works. I looked into his case and what the, because it wasn't, he wasn't charged yet, but, you know, they kept, I kept reading that it was imminent. And then eventually January 25th, 2019, 29 heavily armed FBI agents came to his house with a SWAT gear and, you know, the rest. So that's when mm-hmm. I really took a hard look into this, and I was going to support him no matter what, because I knew that Roger Stone did nothing wrong. And the amount of stress that this took on this man and his family, who then I became ultimately like his family, because I was as close, I'm as close to his family as if, let's say, his own son, his own daughter. You know, I'm very close with the entire family. And this really took a toll on all of us. And it also affected my own family, because then they wanted to know, because they like Roger. So it was one big thing that's happened, and it's continued until up until this day. It's still going on and on and on, because we still have my case, you know. So it just it looks like this never ends, you know, Joe. It just never ends.
So you met Roger online. You started communicating. Then you met him in person, and then Roger got indicted. And I guess you may have been there at some of his court hearings. And then that led basically ultimately to like January 5th, right? I don't even know if you were there on January 6th, but on January 5th, Roger, I know, had some sort of event at the Capitol or near the Capitol, and never even got close to the Capitol January 5th or 6th. Now they're trying to charge him for instigating a riot, you know, just unbelievably bizarre charges. But if you've got a judges and juries that are totally corrupt, then you can do whatever you want. And that's basically what they're getting away with in DC right now, is my opinion. But anyway, so what happened on January 5th or 6th? Isn't that kind of paramount to what led to your case ultimately with the NYPD?
Yeah, Joe, I was with Roger January 5th and 6th. I went there. He wanted me to be with him. Obviously, he wants family around him. You know, since Nydia, we didn't know that she had begun to get sick, because she was diagnosed with cancer a month later. But she wasn't feeling good, so she wasn't going to go. So I went to support my friend. He had two speeches he gave that day. One was, I believe, outside the Supreme Court or somewhere out on the street. And then the second one was at the Freedom Plaza. Those were the only two speeches that he gave. Obviously, January 50, we never even went near this Capitol. The next day, nobody marched to the Ellipse. We were never in the Capitol. We were never at the Capitol. We ended up leaving during the afternoon. So any claim or assertion or implications that we either knew about in advance or were involved in what happened at the Capitol is categorically false, and it's defamatory. So they ostensibly were trying to say that I was his security, which they've always tried to state in NYPD, which is really a bogus thing, because the only thing that really matters, Joe, is if you did off-duty employment, you have to fill out paperwork. I've never done security for Roger. Roger is my friend. Everywhere we've shared, but we've spent the holidays together as a family. We've all gone out together. We've laughed together. We obviously, as you know, we smoke cigars together. So there's nothing to do with security at any point. I mean, if somebody was to assault or try to attack one of us, obviously you would hope that I would, you know, he would step in on someone trying to do that to me, or I would step in for him. But that doesn't, there's no security work ever involved here. He's never given me a penny. So they made up this charge of uncompensated security and stating that I was there. And that's what started. It was partially how the investigation started. But obviously this crazy letter that stated I wanted a civil war is how they really took it to another level, Joe.
Was that just totally made up, that letter? What was that all about?
That letter is a blank letter. It's just, that's all it states on. It says that I, along with some officer, I have no idea who this officer is, that was in another precinct that worked in Brooklyn, that me and him wanted a civil war in his country. I don't even know what that means. There's never been any, there's never been any clarification on this, but it was an anonymous blank letter that's written that way. How this is taken Serious? I don't know. It's almost as if somebody just picks up a phone and says, someone's getting beat up on the corner and hangs up. You don't know who it is. We don't know who the phone number is. Like, these are common sense things, but obviously if things are politically motivated, Joe, you know how they go. So there's a little bit of political bias here.
Unbelievable. And then, so you had this hearing. When was that hearing? When did that occur? I remember writing about it. Was that about a year ago now?
Yeah, it was a year ago. It's actually a year ago this month. It started on March 1st, and then it continued all the way until April 4th. I had four dates all day. And all they were showing were pictures. They were unsealing arrest records of people, which is illegal. They kept stating Roger's name. I don't know who was on trial, me or Roger, because you heard Roger's name so many times, it was ridiculous. They've also mentioned President Trump. It was, for the amount of time, I mean, I don't know how much money, I don't know how much taxpayer dollars were spent on there, but it was basically a Soviet-style show trial, which you remember, I saw this, I was a witness to this personally in Washington, D.C. when they were doing this to Roger at his trial. It's almost the same exact scenario, only this was guilt by association. That was the number one tactic of the NYPD. Guilt by association. You're friends with Roger. You're pictured here. You're pictured there. You're guilty or guilty or guilty. And that's how this whole process went. It was, you could never really defend yourself. They admitted on the stand that they used an administrative subpoena in a criminal case. They made my case criminal. That's how they started, but somehow they used an administrative subpoena, which you can't do. And that's how they got all my records, Joe. So all of this stuff should have been suppressed, but the judge allowed it anyway, because it's a kangaroo court. And that's a whole separate issue. So this is what you're facing. It's insurmountable odds.
It's unbelievable. And by the way, Roger Stone, when you were seeing him on January 5th or 6th or before that or since that, he was pardoned. I don't even know if he had a record. I don't think he has a record to this day. This sham that they set him up for, where they accused him of lying to Congress when in reality, lie there, first of all. I mean, it wasn't material, if at any. And the whole lie was about Russia collusion. And then we find out that that was all a lie. The person that lied the worst in his trial, in my opinion, was the judge, Amy Berman Jackson, when she told Roger and his attorneys that, I'm not going to let you look at the Mueller exam report or anything in there that has your name on it. I'm going to look at it, and you're going to trust me when I come up with my results, which she did. And she said, there's nothing in there, Roger, that really applies to this case and to you. And then we find out on November 3rd, the evening of the election in 2020, buried in the headlines of the crazy election was the fact that the DOJ had released information on that Mueller exam report, and it was about Roger, and it showed that he was totally innocent, that even the Mueller team said he had done nothing wrong. So that was the biggest lie, was what the judge said. She's just a corrupt judge in D.C., an Obama judge. And so that was the crime, if you ask me. But then Roger got pardoned. So for the NYPD to come and say, hey, you're hanging around with criminals, that's just absolutely not true, if they're referring to Roger Stone. I mean, was that an argument you attempted to make, in this kangaroo court?
He actually did, Joe, and here's the best part of it. So they actually got a letter from the DOJ that stated that just because someone is pardoned, it doesn't expunge the fact that they were convicted. And that's what they hung their hat on. They contacted the DOJ or vice versa. That's how serious they were looking at me for. This is what for the case for. I've never heard of this, that the DOJ actually wrote a whole letter just for me, just for my case, stating that because Roger was convicted, it doesn't expunge the conviction, even though he was pardoned. So obviously Roger is allowed to, own a firearm. He can vote. He can have all the freedoms he wants, except the fact that by the DOJ standards, they're stating you still are a convicted criminal on the books, we'll say.
That's outrageous. That's just absolutely outrageous. That is not my understanding of what a pardon is for what it does and what it grants. I mean, that just sounds like a lie. I don't believe that. Who would have written that up even? You know, what political animal in this DOJ could have even done that? It's just crazy.
Doesn't would be make many sense characters, many anti-Trump characters there, many anti-Stone characters there. And, you know, maybe they don't like me either at this point, you know. And this entire experience, I've lost my job. I lost my savings. I lost my reputation. I've lost friends. I have love interests that, you know, a girl will say, you know, I want to be with, but they can't be with you because they're staring at this thing and they're scared to death of what can happen or what's going on.
Yeah,
I've lost almost everything, Joe, but there's one thing I haven't lost, and that's my faith. And there's one thing that me and Roger always do. Every Sunday we go to church, and it's my faith and my belief in Christ and our Lord that's gotten me to this point. Because there was many dark times, Joe. I mean, there's so many. I could go back and think how dark it was for the last 5 years between everything that's gone on within Roger and my life. But you can never give up because you know what? We're here for a reason because it's truly a spiritual war, Joe. That's what it really is. And it's a fight for the soul of the country. And you personally, it's a fight for your own soul because it's moments like this that test you. And this is what I believe is intended from our Lord. You know, he's looking to test people, and there's a lot of negative going out there, and a lot of negative things that are happening out there. And this is just another one of them. So I want people, you know, people look at me and say, you know, they say all these things and say, look, when like I ask people, if you want to help, you go to helpthisnycop.com. You know, if you feel inclined to try to donate something or help me out. But you know something, it's more of the support and the prayers of the people, because the people doing this, I don't think this is what a godless environment like the NYPD or law enforcement in general, or even the federal government, they despise this. They don't like anything where people are praying and say, you know, in God we trust. They don't like that. They were always very much mechanical and very much soldier-like. And that's how they like you to be. And that's not how life is intended, Joe. We're all human beings. We're all touched by the light. These people are very dark. So when people go in and you help me, you can help me either way. But more importantly, I like people's prayers and their support, because that's how we've gotten to this point. It's because what seemed insurmountable before, it seemed like you couldn't do anything about it. Now seems inevitable that this is a straight fight now at this point, at least in my case, and even in Roger's case, because in Roger's cases, you have to pray for this man and his family. I mean, he's been through so much. Needy has been through so much. His wife, it's almost bone chilling what's happened to this family. But you know what? We sit there, we all pray as a family, we all go to church, and that's what gets us through it. It's our faith. And it's the most important thing in your life. If there's anything people can do out there, is your belief in Christ and in God. That's what will get you through it. And any subject, any matter that you look at in today's world.
That's actually spot on and beautiful too. I think as you were talking there, I was thinking, yeah, well, you still got your integrity and they can't take that. And you got your soul. You got your spirit, you've got your faith, got your, you know, you've got it all. And if you've got all that, you got everything. And
that's right, Joe. I'll make a quick point. So this weekend, I don't know if you realize, we had an event that was held by the New York Young Republicans in New York City in Little Italy. And we were supposed to go. It was called a martini event where Roger was going to do martinis for everybody there. It was a great event. It was held by New York Young Republicans. It was fantastic. Before we went there, Joe, around 7 o'clock or something, there were about 50 to 80 anarchists, we'll call them, not even protesters, because it's the same group of people that come. And they had their little picket signs, and they wouldn't let people inside the place. So, Joe, amazingly, we get into the car. What starts to happen, Joe? It starts to come down hellaciously. It was raining like cats and dogs. The protesters dispersed. We got there and there was no one to even notice. We walked in and basically Roger, we walked in almost like rock stars. The people were just clapping. It was cheering. It was one of the greatest events I've ever been to. And especially in a town like New York City. And it was amazing. And it was truly a surreal feeling. And it all started with that moment when it started to rain. Because you know 80 people waiting outside is not good. You don't have enough security. I mean, it was NYPD officers out there that did a great job holding people back. I mean, I know I was there. I did that myself at one time. But that was truly, I believe, an act of divine there, how that happened. Because going to that, it wasn't raining. It was fine. All of a sudden, it was just pouring. And that saved the moment, because that could have gone really bad. But overall, Joe, that was a phenomenal experience. We had cigars there. It was phenomenal. It was a great experience in New York City for once, in a place that so much bad has happened to me personally, and also with Roger. But it was fantastic. And I just want to say that thanks to New York Republicans, the New York Republicans had a great event there. And once again, I believe that it was faith that stopped to turn the negative into a positive, because that's the most important thing in life. Negatives, turn them into positives.
And nothing could be better than to see a bunch of Antifa or whatever they were get just pounded by the rain. So, oh, and a lot of some divine intervention there as well. That's fantastic. So great. Sal, how can we help you again? What's the website that people can go to?
Oh, so if anybody wants to help, you go to helpthisnycop.com. Also on the lower links there is also, like, I have a store, so you could buy my shirt. This is like Sal Greco did nothing wrong. If you want to walk around with one of those, because listen, I'm doing this. I'm fighting for all of you. My case is a First Amendment issue. Someone like me, people may not like me. You may not like Roger, but you know, or you may not like President Trump. But you know something? If they step all over me and they crush me, they're going to crush you next. Sitting in a foxhole saying, I hope they don't see me. Trust me, they see you. And they see you as weak, and they're going to come and they're going to take you right out of that foxhole. You need to be prepared. I'm not saying, you know, nobody's saying you physically fighting, but you got to be fighting for your rights. And again, once again, I state it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual war that was going on. You need to have your faith. And your faith is all we really have. Because at the end of the day, Joe, if you don't believe in anything, what do you believe in? You know, what does anyone believe in? That's
great question.
That's the mantra of everything here, Joe. Yeah, I mean, I hear Eric Adams speaks about all the church and God, and then he changes his whole tune the next day. I mean, that's a typical politician. You know, all of these guys are all the same, except for Donald Trump, that is. But they're all the same, talking out of both sides of their mouth. And this is what we're facing, because that's why they fear Donald Trump. They fear President Trump because he's the force. He's the man in the arena. He's the guy that we need. And they all fear this, and they're trying everything to persecute this man. But really, as you could tell, it's almost a divine intervention again, where nothing could stick, because it's all a fraud. It's a fugazi. None of it is real. None of it. Yeah. Everything they've tried, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like this. It's 5 years of hell, personally, you know?
Yeah. Well, for all of us, really, it's been outrageous. We did beat him, though. He won.
That's right.
And it wasn't Hillary, and thank God for that. And,
I'll tell you what, Joe, I think we might have beat him a second time, too. But that, you know, depending on how you state that. If you state that too many times, you might get a knock on your door from the FBI. So, we might have won.
No, we definitely won, and I've written two books on it, and I'm on my third book just on the cover up now, and it's just amazing what these people did to people like you to try to shut us all down, to prevent us from doing anything, to prevent us from protesting, prevent us from getting together, because they just they are just tyrannical animals. And you're right, it's an absolute war between good and evil, and that's what this is. It's real clear. Do we want our freedoms? Do we want our rights? Do we want our Constitution? Or do we want what they're giving us, which is crime, corruption, empty pocketbooks, and empty wallets, and and war? No, we don't want that. No, we don't want that. We want peace and serenity for our people and for our lives. And these people, you know, and they can't win because, you know, here's the thing, Sal. Trump won huge, and I feel like I can prove it. And not only that, but we're a monster majority, and growing as they continue to do their thing. More and more people are seeing these people are animals. They're sick. So we got to stick together. You
know, I always say this, Joe, no matter how bad these people are, you have to pray for them too, because they're godless and they've lost their way. And, you know, even the Lord would tell you, you know, just because someone has lost their way doesn't mean that they've lost forever. because people can turn around. I did this many times in the police department where I spoke to people that I may have arrested or people that were in the cell. And I said, you know, your life isn't over. It is, you know, you could always find a way. You go back to your belief in Christ and it'll turn around for you again. And people need to see that, because sometimes they might be in the wrong way, like these Antifa people, whatever. 10 years from now, I really want to know how they feel, where they look back and go, I was really doing this. Because it almost is godless. It's because it's a godless environment. They don't believe in anything other than anarchy or whatever their case is. And that's the problem, Joe. And it also, there's never any accountability. If you had some accountability, people wouldn't be doing these crazy acts. That's what it really boils down to. You have a little bit of accountability. Instead of looking and persecuting people for political beliefs and their political associations, then this wouldn't be going on, which people would say, hey, wait a minute, you know, if we do this, you know, they might prosecute us for throwing rocks and trying to hurt people. But they don't, they seem to not want to do this anymore, Joe. It's very lax out there. And when I was under the police department, we didn't do that. We were out there and, you know, this anarchist environment was not tolerated. But, you know, in today's world, in Eric Adams, New York City, in Lori Lightfoot's Chicago, you know, it's the same mantra. They let anarchy rule and they really don't care as long as you don't touch one of them. That's when it changes.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're so right on so many things there. Just so right. But this is the spiritual war and how people, will they look back? I don't know. I've heard Antifa has got some sort of maybe even satanic roots to it. Certainly some, I think, fascist roots for sure. And so, you know, we can pray for our enemy, but we need to be strong and they need to be held accountable. And I agree with what you're saying there. That was a real key point. These people are not going to, some of them will not change unless they're held accountable. And we need to hold every one of these people accountable. I believe that in your situation, in these January 6ers situations, the judges need to be reviewed and for crimes. I believe. I'm sorry, man. I don't want to get you in trouble here, but yeah. I think these DOJ people, for example, whoever wrote you this letter that says that Stone was pardoned, but he was convicted, so he's still a criminal. I mean, that's I don't think that's what the Constitution says. I don't think that's what our law says. So that's, you know, people that are writing things like that need to be dealt with. They need to be kicked out of our law enforcement for sure, out of our Department of Justice for sure, out of our courts. But then we need to really, really look at these people to see what crimes they committed, because this is outrageous. For example, these judges the Justice Department people that are throwing these guys in jail in D.C. For maybe 2 years, haven't had a court case yet with no charges. I mean, that's just that to me. That in solitary confinement, this kind of stuff is beyond the pale. That's beyond abuse. You know, it's criminal. I believe what they're doing.
Joe, it's for trespassing at best. That's really what you have. I mean, that was a crime that in New York City, if you don't get a summons for it, you might get laughed at bringing someone in. If you brought someone to the station and said this person trespassed, that sergeant on that behind that desk will look and go, what is this for again? I mean, that's how it's viewed. But they want to make this into it was the worst day since Pearl Harbor, which is disgrace to mention that. That's you're staining the memory of 9/11. So many people. 9/11, you're not even close. It's not even close. I think was a big hoopla over nothing, really. I mean, it was, is it quiet? I mean, it just seems like people were intoxicated. They were being let in. There's a lot of, you know, and then there's a lot of things you still don't know about, the footage that I haven't seen. But I can promise you one thing on those 41,000 hours of footage, Sal Greco or Roger Stone is not on there. So I don't know. I don't know what angle they're trying to pull. Or they were trying to pull with me. There's nothing to it because we never even left the hotel room. But now this egregious prosecutions are out of control. It's just out of control. You still have rights in this country. You know, you still have rights. You might not like what someone does. Well, they might do a criminal act you don't like, but you know they still have rights and they're trampling. Well, and that's it. Rights.
Yeah, and if DC isn't going to allow people to have the rights, then the people that are preventing that, then we need to hold them accountable, because this is outrageous. And yeah, I don't even think these people trespass. I don't see how you can trespass when there's no signage. There's people, police are opening the door for you and allowing you to walk in. That's not trespassing. I'm sorry. That's just not. That's a lie. So, hey, Sal, great to have you on here. Thanks so much for joining me. I really, hearts out for you, buddy. We're praying for you, and encourage everybody to go to your website and help you out any way that we can. Getting our prayers for sure, Sal. God bless you, and thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you, everyone out there. If you want to follow me on Truth Social, at the head of the table. On Instagram and Twitter, it's at the Sal Greco. Listen, thank you all for supporting me, believing in me, believe me, trust me. Keep your faith. Faith is everything.
Thank you, Sal. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. This is Joe Hoff Show.